The BBC presents My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the team.
Here's another My Music program, 2 versus 2, like all the best panel games. On the left, my left, David Franklin and Frank Muir. On my right, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norman. As usual in the first round, one mark for the title, another mark for the composer's name. And we begin, as ever, with David Franklin.
They sometimes can give you a clue.
Yes. There's a chap sitting there, four rows back. He doesn't know it either.
That's a chap from BBC Two Music.
He's a very famous music critic, actually, and he doesn't know. Now, I must tell you, David, this is a very difficult one, but the composer's little theme idea, his fingerprint was there.
That's a clue.
Yes.
Fingerprint. Thumb, isn't it?
Try
Elgar.
Yes, try Elgar.
Yes, it's a very early work, and it would appear to have foreign origins, and it's a dance.
From the Bavarian Highlands.
Well, from one of the Bavarian dances, yes.
Yes.
Well, I don't think I can give you any marks. The Marksman from Bavarian Dances, an early work by Elgar, opus 27.
No marks for Elgar. No marks for... No marks for Bavaria.
One mark for John Amis in the audience for Elgar. No marks, I fear, to David Franklin, and welcome to the show,
not
John
Amis.
Not even
for the word Bavaria.
Oh, don't be so argumentative. All right, half a mark for Bavaria, yes. Half a mark for Bavaria, fair enough. Dennis, who wrote this, and what did he, or she, of course, call it?
If you were going to give one of your tortured clues on this, would you say The Broken Puppet?
Yes. Oh, clever, clever.
Holiday for Strings.
I wish I'd thought of that. Yes.
He or she who wrote it is either David Rose or Rose David, whichever.
Well, a David by any other name would still be called David Rose or something. Yes. Yes, David Rose, Holiday for Strings, two marks for Dennis. Ian, see how you get on. You've heard this tune in more than one form. I want to be rather particular about the answer as regards the title of this orchestral piece. Listen. Instrumental piece, rather. Listen.
Yes, it's Schubert.
Yes, one mark.
And it's the Trout.
The Trout what?
Yes. Quintet.
Yes, I didn't...
As opposed to the song.
Yes, that's right, exactly. From the fourth movement of the Trout Quintet. Two marks for Ian Wallace. Frank, title and composer from you, please.
Elizabeth.
Well, she figures in the title, yes.
Elizabeth.
Yes, but you heard an instrumental piece there. And yes, but just as Ian couldn't get away with the song, The Trout, so you can't get away with Elizabeth. So I want the instrumental title.
Serenade.
Elizabethan Serenade.
Elizabethan Serenade. It's exactly what's hovering on my tongue.
Well, how are you doing for the hovering of the composer's name?
Ah. Oh, was that in the round? I wasn't listening.
Yes, it was.
Elizabethan Serenade. Is it a modern composer?
Yes.
Is it sort of Ron Goodwin, sort of?
No, but same generation. Have a drink and see if you, that reminds you. Have several drinks.
Steve Water.
Supposing you had too many drinks, what would you be on? You'd be on a binge. I'm trying to get you to say Ronald Binge to me. That's the...
Ronald Binge. Poor chap.
Not so poor since Elizabethan Serenade, I can tell you. And I really... What do? I give you one mark out of two there. Next round, the musical theatre. Heavy or light, as the case may be. David, in 1862, a member of Parliament composed an opera. Who and which opera? Try a country or two and then
German,
narrow it down.
German.
No. Try another one.
Italy?
Yes. A member of the Italian Parliament from 1861 to 1865, during which time he composed...
Verdi.
Yes, Verdi was an MP.
What
I never knew that.
Well, there you are.
Was it Mars Ball?
No. I'll have to tell you, Vespers. Won't I? It was La Forza del Destino,
well,
which Verdi composed
choice.
While a member of... Too bad. While a member of the Italian Parliament in 1862. A mark for Verdi, fair enough. Dennis, rather lighter music in your case. What have these ladies in common? Martha Ray, Pearl Bailey, Phyllis Diller, Betty Grable, Ethel Merman.
Do they have it in common with Carol Channing and... Dorothy L'Amour.
Yes, they do. Yes, well, they do. And Barbara Streisand, in a sense, too.
Yeah. Yes, it's they played the lead in Hello, Dolly.
They all played Dolly. Two marks. Ian, over the years, Rodgers and Hammerstein's musicals have had some pretty mixed receptions from the press. One critic said that The Sound of Music was for people who find James Barry pretty rough stuff. But the tersest review, I think, was by Kenneth Tynan, yeah, who called one of their musicals A World of Woozy Song. Which musical?
Flower Drum Song.
Yes.
Kenneth Allen also said about The Sound of Music that it suits all ages from 13 to 14.
Anyway, Ian's got two marks for correctly identifying Flower Drum Song. Frank, which Broadway musical has one song accompanied by the sound of typewriters and another accompanied by the drone of an electric razor? Does that ring a bell?
Are they the same musical? The same musical?
Yes, they're the same show, a show.
Well, yes. The razor was the chap singing I Believe in You.
That's right, yes.
How to succeed in business without really shaving.
Yes.
Without really typing, I'm sorry.
Yes, how to succeed in business without really trying. The typewriter song was called A Secretary Is Not a Toy. Two marks to Frank, and on to the next round. One of the gratifying things about taking the chair in my music, I always think, is the way you gentlemen are so cultured. Not just musical, but literary-minded as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Men of the world, but alive to developments in all the arts and sciences. Here, then, are some settings of famous poems. For one mark, and this is the point, who's the poet? David.
Cherry ripe, 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 ripe. Cherry ripe, 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 ripe,
it was written under a pseudonym.
Well, Bush. Not John Gay.
No.
No, I'll have a go at Anon.
What a good idea.
Care,
I can't give you your mark for that. It was, in fact, Robert Herrick.
Yes.
1591 to 1674, I took the precaution of finding out.
If it would console you at all, David, I sang that in one of my first theatrical appearances as a soprano, a boy soprano, when I played the part of a cherry seller in Dick Whittington in the school pantomime. And it had a cadenza, I believe, with a top B, which I could sing in those days. I can't sing it now. But well, just thought that might interest you.
Yes, do go on. This is much better than the programme.
Were you white or red? White. The voice was very white in those days.
The singer we heard there incidentally was Elizabeth Harwood. That's no marks, I'm afraid, for David. Dennis, the poet concerned here, please.
In the last room of summer, left blooming alone, all her lovely companions are faded and gone.
I'll do a footnote as well. It's Thomas More, who wrote things like The Minstrel Boy, but he also wrote one of the really tinnier lines of English poetry, which is, "Come rest in my bosom, my own stricken deer." And deer is spelt D-E-E-R. So if you can conjure up the idea of a lady with a stricken D-E-E-R resting in her bosom, she really would emit a cadenza in top B.
Anyway, to David's antlers were very sharp.
Yeah. You get the antlers right up your hooter.
Well, Dennis got a mark for saying Thomas More, born in 1779 in Dublin, as a matter of interest.
We don't get another for saying it was Kenneth McKellar.
No, it just happened to be kind of singing Last Rose of Summer. There's a mark. Ian, yours is so easy for you that I want, please, in your case, not only the man, but his date of birth and R. I mean, as well.
My love, she was a lassie, it. My love, she was a lassie, it. We did not stand a year or two, to live in the house of his own feet. A rude day a sutter, a rude day a sutter, who gets a mean a say she's rude, but he may say he got her.
You didn't really expect it was going to be my initial mama, did you?
Well, the thing sense, here is that Ian
in
will
a sense,
never get...
it's just about as appropriate that a Branny should sing, yes. "My love, she's but a lassie yet,"
it was
with
Brannigan.
A splendid Scots Geordie accent.
Oh, and Brannigan. And, of course, if you don't know the date, Ian, you'll never work north of Halstead's again, will you?
That's terrible, isn't it? It's Robert Burns is the poet.
Date of birth?
Yes, about 1758.
25th of January, as you so rightly say.
Oh, I knew that. There's a song about that, and we have famous Burns Nichts where we all sing.
1759, actually, was the year.
Well, I wasn't far out, and I said 1758.
No.
What a relief.
You get a... Robert Burns, born 25th of January, 1759.
In that case, he'd happily be still with us.
Yes. Frank, who wrote these words?
Where the satyrs are chattering and sinner flattering glimpse of the forest in house, or the beauty of marrow and cucumber narrow of Ceres will join in the dance. Where the satyrs can flatter the flat beetroot and the gurk and green and the marrow, said Queen Venus, I Venus will settle between us the gall and the cucumber narrow.
Edith Sitwell.
I love the roar of laughter that followed that. It's right, isn't it? Of course, it's perfectly
from
right.
Facade.
It was, in fact, Dame Edith Sitwell from Facade. Yes, the Tarantella. You get a mark there. And the singer, incidentally, or the speaker of those lines from Facade was Annie Ross. And here's the next round. Here we sit, a mere stone's throw from Trafalgar Square and within spitting distance, although that would, of course, be illegal, from London's own river, known affectionately to American visitors as the Thames. So what could be more appropriate than a round of questions about London? David, who wrote this, and for your second mark, for what occasion? Pardon?
Haydn.
Haydn for what occasion, yes?
Well, for a visit to London.
Yes, they're one of his London symphonies. Thank you. Two marks. Dennis, who wrote this? And for your second mark, what was the name of the ballet that he presented at the Royal Festival Hall in 1959?
Well, it's Noel Coward, yes. London Pride, and the ballet presented at the Royal Festival Hall. It must have been something in praise of London.
Yes, it was London something.
Well, it may have been called, with any luck, London Pride.
No, you have got one mark. Anybody in the audience know? Thank you, yes. Thank you, sir. That was London Morning was the name of the ballet concerned. Yes, one mark out of two. Ian, no help from your partner with this one. Who's the composer and who's the singer?
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her wherever I go.
I always think of this marvellous character as perpetrating these marvellous sort of gags like, His Majesty's annoyed, His Majesty's annoyed, King's Cross, oi, oi. Yes. Johnny goes to show how good Bud Flanagan's material was.
One mark, who wrote the song?
It wasn't Noel Gay, was it, by chance?
No.
About that period, I imagine.
No, later, really. He was writing later than Noel Gay was writing.
Not Phil Park.
Married to a very lovely lady in the show business.
Hubert Gregg.
Yes, Hubert Gregg. I think we can give you that, can't we, for two marks? Yes, Hubert Gregg. Frank, with no help from your partner in this case, for your two marks, where in London and who composed it? Give you a clue, it's over there.
It's the curtain walls. It seems to be very much like Eric Coates.
Yes,
London
a mark.
Suite.
Yes, from his London, one of his London suites. Yes,
and I think is it the run up to the tune of the Knightsbridge March?
No.
Ah. That's very interesting.
Which way did you point?
That's the third movement, this is the first movement.
Which way did you point?
Over there.
That's the river.
No, the river's there.
The river goes that way.
You can't be Charing Cross, can it?
No, it's beyond there.
Beyond Charing Cross.
Birmingham.
Actually, it's Jutland.
I've got to be.
London Bridge.
No. One of us is wrong. I'm sure I'm right about direction now. It's Covent Garden is the answer. Covent Garden, which is over that away. For something of a change now in my music, four questions about the ballet. David, what is an entrechat? Easy to do, difficult to describe, rather like a spiral staircase.
The performer leaps up into the air and twiddles his feet.
Like an egg beater.
And with luck, he's finished his twiddling before he comes back to you. If he hasn't finished his twiddling before he lands, he's in dead trouble.
Yes, couldn't have put it better, an entrechat. Vertical jump in the air, and after the rather dull fashion of my answers here, it says, during which the feet are repeatedly crossed. You've certainly got a mark, David. Dennis, who was unmasked by a jealous gamekeeper?
I really haven't the faintest
idea. Unmasked by a jealous gamekeeper.
In ballet fashion, yeah.
Correct answer, of course, Count Albrecht. Ian, what did von Rothbart do to Odette?
Von Rothbart?
To make it even more kinky, it was underwater. Or on the water.
Something to do with Swan Lake.
Yes.
Yes.
He put a spell on her. I'm going to give you half a mark for Swan Lake, even though I did give it to you on a
plate.
Frank, another ballet question. How many positions are there?
There's a quarter to three, and there's 3 o'clock, and there's 5 to 3, 10 to 3.
Yes.
Then it goes into the third dimension.
25 to 6 is the most difficult one of all.
I suppose nervous belly dancers could be called uptights.
Have a guess at a number.
It's quite small, isn't it?
Yes, quite.
In fact, because it's what they do with their feet. Because their hands are bent like the jug of a Toby jug at the time. So could they be. Don't do much for their hands. It's what they do with their feet. Six.
Well, near enough. Near enough. Five, there are basic.
I was
that
speaking
mark,
of before though. The war.
And we move on to our last round. One of our great English poets, Milman Lawrence, known as the Swan of Egham, once wrote, "Sweet Sylvia's praise with music crowned must make the lowliest voice renowned." And this is the point in our show when lowly voices are raised in song. The usual three marks, and we begin with a song for and from David Franklin.
Boiled beef and carrots. That's something.
A brave shot, I think. You've got... You're very near, actually. Did you know that? You are very near.
Well, yes, I had a teeny-weeny suspicion that this was the roast beef mouldy.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And I haven't a clue what the words of that are, so I thought I'd have a go at the old boiled beef and carrots.
And I enjoyed it, and I think we might give you 2 out of 3 for that. Dennis, here's your song.
John Brown's baby has a pimple. John Brown's baby has a pimple on his... And the one staff officer jumped right over the other staff officer.
Very nice too, yes. Much, much more interesting histoire than what I've got written down here. Shall we go in 3 marks out of 3?
Yeah.
Yes, go on. Ian, a song for you.
What was't I wish to see? What wish to hear? Where all the joy and mirth may this town have on earth. All this has fled with thee, Robin Adair.
You've had the decorators in. Three out of three for Ian. Frank's song.
Yes.
Here's your song. If the audience wants to join in, who would I be to stop them?
Oh, the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming, the drums are tumming everywhere. Oh, Send the word to beware. We'll be over, we come over, and we won't be back till it's over there. On the halls of Montague,
My music ends for this week with a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norton, and Ian Wallace. The chairman was Steve Race. Questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason, and the program was produced in London by Tony Shryan.
Thank you.